Voices of the Temple, official podcast of the Temple of Witchcraft, exploring mystery and magic through love, will, and wisdom, hosted by Adam Sartwell.
Hi, listeners. We're here with another Voices of the Temple, and I just want to get us into sacred space before I introduce who's with me today. In the virtual studio. So I call upon the Great Spirit. I call upon the two who move as one through the three rays of love, will, and wisdom. I call upon the goddess, maiden, mother, and crone, past, present, and future, creator, sustainer, and destroyer, weaver of the web. I call to the god, Lord of light and Lord of darkness, God of the green and the gold, God of the horn and the red, singer of the song. Be with us now and forever, so mote it be. So I am here with Myr Windtalker. So say hello to our listeners, please.
Hello, listeners.
So, Myr, how do you spiritually identify?
Beautiful question. First of all, I want to thank you for asking me to come and have this chat with you today. So honored. I love and really feel inspired by the Voices of the Temple. And when I first got the email to join, I was like, did they send the email to the right guy? I'm not so sure. So thank you so much. How I identify spiritually, I am a witch.
Excellent. Well, that's a
I
good one. A lot of people have used that one. Do you have any special
am a potion
focuses?
making, tarot reading, Sabbath celebrating witch.
Excellent. So on that line, what is your own witchcraft story, your own witchcraft origin?
That's an interesting question because I think I have multiple mini points in my youth that have pointed out to where I was, but none of them really became concrete until after my first experience with brain cancer. And I remember after my second surgery, I was very, very stiff, and my aunt had taken me to a yoga class to loosen up, so to speak. And I think I was like 12 years old at the time. And I had no idea what yoga was. I had no idea what I'm about to go into. But I remember at the end of that class, there was this very interesting cellular memory that I've done this before. And I was like, okay, that's weird. And a couple of months later, I had my first Reiki session, and I could actually feel waves of energy pass through me, you know? I tell a lot of people it's like if you spent the entire day at the pool and then you come back home and you can feel those funny waves moving inside of you is what it felt like. And I had told the lady that was doing the Reiki in full detail what I was feeling, and she had her eyes wide open, like, well, how do you know what? Like, you were just a kid, you know, kind of stuff. And it was those moments in my youth when I was like, okay, there is something there. And after therapy, because I lost a lot of my memory after my first brain tumor, but with therapy, I'm regaining a lot more of those lost memories back. I used to spend a lot of time in like the garden and talking to flowers and the little blue people sitting on the, you know, on the leaves and stuff. And of course, I had no memory of this as I was growing up, but now that I'm bringing all this back, it's like, oh, it's always been there. And then my aunt, sorry, my grandmother the other day, she was commenting on how I always refused to be a boy when playing pretend. And I said, tell me more, Grandma. Well, my brother would be Prince Charming, my cousin would be the damsel in distress, and I always had to be the good witch. And she would say, you mean wizard, honey? I was like, no, witch. And I was like, I don't know, between 5 and 8 years old. So it's always been there. In 2015, I was doing card readings at a metaphysical store in Jordan. And because it was a bookstore, I got a glimpse at the Llewellyn catalog. And I saw the Inner Temple of Witchcraft. And my eyes read the word witchcraft. And I was like, this book, I want it now. That
Awesome.
was then, and this is now.
Yes, that's great.
Sorry, 2005.
Yeah, wow. Ugh. Time.
Exactly.
I resonate with telling people you're a witch when you were younger. I remember very clearly yelling up the stairs at my mother that I wanted to grow up to be a witch. And she's like, no, you're a warlock, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, no, I'm a witch. And I, put it that way. And it's so funny because, I forgot about that for years. And then I had this memory of talking to her. She was putting on her makeup at the time, so she really wasn't paying attention. So you've been working with the Capricorn Ministry as a deputy. So what are your duties and responsibilities?
It was such an honor to be able to work with the Capricorn Ministry. I was working with Iopanae, the spirit of Capricorn, as a light bearer for 2 years. And then when Michael Usher, lead minister, goes ahead and says, I'd like to work with us with the Capricorn Ministry, I felt severely, truly, honestly honored. The Mysteries of the Father is near and dear to my heart in so many different ways. Identifying what it truly means to be a spiritual man and all that comes with that, such a powerful thing, a very important thing. Yeah, I'm severely honored to be working with that. My main work right now is around helping organize and lead our men's group, which we hold once a month.
So this men's group, tell us a little bit about that and why you think it's important.
Oh, we go through different three themes throughout the year. We just finished tonight, I think it was six sessions where we're talking about healing toxic masculinity. And we were using the archetypes of king, magician, lover, and one more off the top of my head. I forgot.
It's okay.
So it's really nice. We get like to open discussions and it's really open and anybody can join in. It's not really my class or Michael's class. It's everyone's session, and we get to we talk and there's a real brotherhood that's forming. We actually got to do this in person at Temple Fest last year. We had our own little ritual and you can feel the brotherhood. You could feel the presence of, yes, we're men, we're witches, we're spiritual, we're doing this kind of thing, And it just allows for a lot of healing that I think most men don't have access to, especially in modern spiritual. And I don't mean this in a negative way or anything, but like the feminist resurgence, it's almost as if there's no space for spiritual men sometimes.
I
So it's
could
not.
see how that could be a perception.
Yeah, totally, totally a perception. I'm not saying it's true. I'm just saying
Yeah.
we've experienced many men who are like, well, we don't know if we fit here.
No, that's true. I've actually heard from some straight men of being like, "Oh, I'm nervous because, it's run by gay men and it's predominantly women." And so they feel a little bit hesitant to even try, which I think is super sad because there are some brilliant straight men out there. Now you also lead Sabbats in your area, in British Columbia, Canada.
Yes.
What is it like serving in that way, and what is your community like for those who haven't experienced it?
It's been almost a year, actually. So we started doing it publicly, I believe, last Ostara. We're hopping till this day. We're still hopping around venues trying to find the perfect fit, but most of them happen at the Unitarian Church here locally. It's interesting to be able to do the ministerial work of like bringing this to the people. Very healing for me personally, and very healing for others as well who want to step in and take a look at what do witches do, kind of thing, We try to keep our rituals more on the active participatory side as opposed to more of the deeper meditative sides. Had some people bring children, and children don't really know how to sit down and meditate for a long time. So it's quite fun. We get different groups of people. We have a nice solid group that really helps me out with like setting up the ritual space and grabbing a corner to call. So yeah, the community isn't in the phase of growing, I would say. We're really looking forward to bigger and stronger things in the future.
Yeah. Well, I know it, even here in New Hampshire, community rituals like the Sabbats and things like that have dwindled a lot, especially post-pandemic. A lot of people are using the online option that we offer instead, or things like that. And I hope it has a resurgence because there is this particular magic that is in person rather than online.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I remember doing rituals at Temple Fest for the past 2 years. And not this past year, but the one before, where we did the ritual of the grand offering. Those fairy rituals, they take you, they grab you, you go somewhere else. And I think that happened because we were all there in person doing the thing. And I'm really happy we have Zoom. I'm really happy we have alternatives to sharing our with people. But there is something to be said about the in-person stuff.
It has its own particular magic.
Definitely. And then the Sabbat that we did with the seven keys, that was life transforming.
Yeah, was that last year?
That was this
Yeah.
last
Yeah.
festival.
I was in bed by then, so it's always a long day for me.
Yes.
But I do remember the fairy ritual, and that was a lot of fun. I also love that, it had a very designed way of being before it started raining. And
Yes.
then we had to shift really quickly. And it was amazing. In 15 minutes, we had created a new ritual, and it was, and people came to it and were like, oh my God, this was, transformative, amazing, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I'm glad that we can do that in 15 minutes. That is practice and magic, right? So,
I mean, if that's not magic right there, I don't know
yeah,
what
that is
is.
magic. And the fae, they like to play tricks on you and make you
Yes, all
work
the
for
time.
it.
All the
Yeah.
time. As I'm learning, I'm currently doing Blu-ray One, so I'm definitely getting that feel.
Yeah, that is part of Blu-ray
Yes.
one for
Getting
sure.
comfortable with being played with.
Yeah, and spiraling back to things later.
Yes. Yes.
Because
Yes.
yeah. So you've studied a lot of other practices. How do they inform and enrich your witchcraft?
Another very good question. So I think because of my particular healing story and because yoga played such a pivotal mark in the shifting of me being who I was to me becoming who I am now, yoga is pretty much at the center and heart of everything that I do. I think I was 15, 16 year old when I actually read the Bhagavad Gita. My teacher were like, "How are you reading this? This is way too complex for a young kid." And I'm like, "It's Krishna speaking to Arjuna. It makes perfect sense." I commonly quote the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali all the time, like how we don't get to see reality as it is because it gets modified by our misperceptions in our mind, right? And the center
Filters.
of it all, I remember, I think it was the last class in W4 for Kether. And no, sorry, it was the crown chakra for the end of the first part of level five. And because it's live, Christopher was like, "Okay, so here are our check-ins and everything. Everybody take a deep breath in, everybody take a deep breath out." And then he remained silent for 35 minutes. We were in this deep, quiet meditation. I remember asking him, "So It's interesting because, like Eastern philosophy, we start with silence meditation. We go into all of this tantric energy work, whereas in witchcraft, it's kind of sort of reversed. You start with psychic development and you build on from there. So it was kind of like bringing me back into that practice, you know? Because we get a bit, especially after W4, you get a bit too caught up with all of the rituals and the LBRPs and stuff, right? So yeah, I would say yoga and energy medicine are pretty much at the core of what I do and how I work with people. Like I've noticed for the past year and a half now, maybe, come to think about it, ever since W5 graduation, my tarot readings are no longer tarot readings, they're more like spiritual psychological consults almost. You know, where we bring in mindfulness practice and we bring in, well, are you aware of hidden causes? Are you aware of what you're doing subconsciously? And yeah, if it wasn't for my training in the Yoga Sutras, if it wasn't for my training in energy medicine, between Reiki, pranic healing, I even have a degree in Chinese medicine. And yeah, it's just life-changing. Once you begin the healing process, everything changes.
That's awesome. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Yeah.
Now, what personal services do you offer that are not actually under the umbrella of the temple?
Wonderful question. In May of, God, I think a year and a half ago, maybe now, I launched a project called the Windtalker Method. And it's basically a culmination of the work that I find myself doing with most of my clients, and I've turned into a methodology called the Windtalker Method. And the Windtalker Method is a trifecta of self-development, psychic clarity, and energy medicine, working those three parts in a tailored and personalized manner to help my clients become really focused and really clear on what it is they want and what's standing in the way of them achieving it. So that's the Windtalker Method. It's my little baby and it's growing beautifully.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So if people were going to try and find you for this,
The windtalkermethod.com. Sorry, Windtalker Method. No, the windtalkermethod.com.
okay, excellent. So what in your spiritual practice is helping you right now?
It's the little acts of magic of everyday living that are helping me right now. For lack of a better word, cultural environment is a bit shaky at the moment with what's going on around the world. I've noticed ever since past, like when the laws got looser after the pandemic, people's spatial awarenesses, mindful awarenesses are a little bit jumbled. You know, I think we're all going through quite a bit right now. We're all going through a lot. So just the simple practices of daily ritual, like making sure I have my morning tea, reading a book, really enjoying reading this for the second time now, Ceremonies for the Tower Times by Byron Ballard. It's a really nice way of like not necessarily grounding, but like centering in with where I am. Also, I find the three soul alignment to be very, very important in today's world. Just bringing all of me back into me. Yeah.
The one that I've been, sort of redoing a lot more is the grounding cord, and actually imagining the energies that are disparate in my spiritual bodies just going down through the grounding cord. It honestly has been like, okay, I'm getting overwhelmed. Let me poof, ground. Oh, okay. Now I've found a little bit more grounded clarity, which can be very useful.
I think similar, it's like yoga practice. When I go to like a basic foundations class, you know, there's something really beautiful about going back to foundations and your basic training. Because it just helps you again ground that presence, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So similarly in like the grounding exercise and the grounding cord. So
Yeah. So, what is the best advice that either you have been given or that you have come up with that you could share with us that would be helpful to the community of the temple or to any of our listeners, really?
my motto in life, my slogan, so to speak, my natural hum is only kindness matters. I think, well, not I think, I'm pretty sure I know, as human beings, as sentient beings on this world, we all experience suffering on some level, and many of us are holding back sharing such suffering because we don't want to be burdens on other people. And we've all seen the meme of the iceberg of, the tip part, what you know this person is going through, versus the bottom part, what you don't know this person's going through. So if we can view ourselves as sentient beings and just offer kindness, I think that's a very good way to start the healing process.
That's
So
awesome.
be kind would be my advice.
That's lovely. I know from your imagery of the iceberg and the parts that are conscious to us and the unconscious parts that we don't know about that's going on with this person, can also be the things that they unconsciously aren't working with and are sitting in their energy. And so we have to sort of be kind that they're going through this and they haven't gotten awareness yet. And that's, part of the process.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A big part for me, this has been a lesson for me that I'm in the process of refining. What does it mean to be kind to yourself? And if I can apply that not just in action, but also in, the mental chatter that I tell myself.
Yeah. Yeah, I sometimes will shift my focus to a compassionate friend.
Yeah.
Would my compassionate friend say this to me? If they
Yeah.
did, would they still be my friend?
Right.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And it's a wonderful little visual as well, my compassionate friend. Yeah.
Yeah. It is helped me in moments where I'm like, oh, the usual with gay men, right? And I'm like, oh, I'm fat, I'm ugly, blah, like, would my compassionate friend say this to me? No, it wouldn't. It would, help me maybe go to the gym, maybe, like whatever to get over that, but it wouldn't say those things to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My
All right.
compliment.
Well, this has been lovely.
Yes.
Thank you for coming on to the show and, being
Having
with
me.
us. And let us close down our space and say goodbye. So we thank the Great Spirit and the two who move as one. We thank the gods and the goddesses who've been with us. We thank the three rays of love, will, and wisdom, and those who move through us and work with us. May we recognize their presence in our lives. Blessed be. Merry meet, merry part, and merry meet again.
Blessed be.
Blessed be.
You've been listening to Voices of the Temple. The contents of this podcast are copyright 2010 of the Temple of Witchcraft. For more information, please visit templeofwitchcraft.org.